Good morning, Craig. Are you on yet?
Yep, I'm on. Hi, Mike.
Okay.
I think I would guess Rich is on. Rich, are you on yet? Nope. Thanks for being on, Mike.
No problem.
Good morning. This is Dan Spitzer.
Hi, Dan. It's Paula Van Dyke in Belvedere.
Hi, Paula. How are you today?
You know, it's snowy and I'm not happy, but it is what it is. It's all part of the weather.
Western New York. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's snowy here. Yeah, it's snowy here today, too. Hi.
Hi, Dan. This is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
This is Dave Crowley in Cuba. Hi, Paula. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good, good. And it's snowy in Cuba.
Oh, it was so pretty yesterday. It was just so nice yesterday.
Beautiful. Right, right.
No doubt it's a pretty crisp, pretty...
It's a great season of the year if you can endure it, that's for sure.
It's started, like it'll be maple syrup. It's maple syrup through the season. Now this is to be expected, right? It's good for sprigs.
That's right.
It'd be great for sprigs.
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh, yes.
I wish, hopefully, before the season's over, I'll be able to go there.
Yeah. You know, it's open enough. I'm not uncomfortable going there. We try to go there once a month. They're spacing. Boy, it sounds like they're going to do a huge expansion, though. I'm so excited about that.
Oh, that's wonderful news. Is Skip on the line? Because I understand that from a mutual friend of ours that the skiing in Hollymount has been like the best ever.
Skip's going to be late because he's got he does a volunteer thing this morning.
Okay.
The food
pantry.
Craig, this
beautiful.
Is Rich.
There's Rich.
Do we have the stenographer on the line? Do we know?
Yes.
Judy's on.
Yeah, Doug's on. Judy.
Lee James, Town of Cuba is on.
Hello, Lee. It's Paula Van Dyke.
Hi, Paula. I'm with you. I'm done with the snow.
I'm going to Florida next week.
Lori Sweet and Corrine Bump, Clerk Treasurer and Deputy Clerk Treasurer, Village of Cuba.
Good morning, ladies. We'll be starting shortly. I want to give everybody a few minutes to get on. It's still a little bit before 11 officially, but we're going to make sure we have time for everybody to get on.
Hey, Dan Spitzer. This is Mark McNamara from Barclay Damon. I'm on representing Charlie Bears and Mar Shakers, and I'll make a statement.
Okay, good. Mark, normally what I do, as I'm sure you're used to, is that after we open the hearing, we would normally turn to you first. So if that's okay. Also, if you have your statement in writing, we do have a stenographer on. If you want to email it to me or to Craig, we'll make sure that that nothing's missed.
I will. Yeah, I'll do that later today because there's a number of attachments to it.
Okay.
That'd be great. This is Craig, yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Hi, Tanya's
on the line, the court reporter.
Great.
Tammy, can you give your email address for Mark and for others who would want to send you attachments to make sure they're in the record?
Yeah, do you just want me to attach the written ones that are sent in?
Well, we've been posting the written ones that we've received afterward, but anything that, like, for example, I'm going to send you my statement at the opening, in terms of the opening introduction. Mark, and he has mentioned that he has a statement, but he also has attachments. I want to make sure those get into the record.
Dan, they all have my email. Why don't you just send them to me, and I'll make sure.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Does that work for you, Mark? You have a great email?
Sure.
Thanks.
It's just easier.
Okay. Tammy, are you ready to get going?
Yep, I'm ready when everyone else is.
All right. First thing I would ask is if everyone will please mute their phones so that everybody can hear each other. And at this time, I'll turn it over to Rich Uel, chairman of the IDA, to start the hearing.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Richard Uel. I'm the chairman of the board of directors of the Allegheny County Industrial Development Agency. Today, we're holding this public hearing pursuant to sections 201 through 203 of the New York Eminent Domain Procedure Law with respect to the acquisition of certain parcels of real property. I will entertain a motion to open the public hearing. Can I have a motion?
I'll move to make open the hearing.
You need to say, hang on a second. Yeah, everybody needs to identify themselves before they speak, and so we know who moved and who seconded. Thanks.
Okay, this is Paula Van Dyke, and I'll second.
Okay, do we need a board? Dan, does it need to be a board member who makes the motion and an IDA board member?
Sorry, I hit mute there for a second. Yes,
okay.
This is only for
okay.
IDA board members who are
okay.
Talking here. Thanks,
it's Randy Shaler. I'll second the motion.
All right, who made the motion?
Randy Shaler.
Okay, it's the second. Who made the original motion, though?
Oh.
Judy? Okay.
Judy did.
All right. All right, so I have a motion by... I have a motion by Judy, a second by Randy. Thank you. And any discussion? Okay, I'm going to do a roll call. Judy?
Here.
Doug?
Here.
This is a vote, roll call vote, so yes or no. Judy?
Well, aye.
Aye.
Doug, yeah. Judy and Doug both said aye. Randy?
Aye.
Any other board members present?
Yeah, I'm on, Rich. It's Mike, and I'll vote aye.
Mike Johnson, aye. Any others? Okay, and I vote yes. Okay, I'll now ask our attorney, Dan Spitzer, to make a presentation regarding the purpose, proposed location of the public project, and other relevant information pursuant to Section 203 of the Eminent Domain Procedure Law, which we will hear from members of the public, after which we will hear from members of the public. So, Dan, if you could take over, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everybody. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, this public hearing today is being conducted via teleconference platform in accordance with executive orders issued by Governor Cuomo. We ask that everyone mute your phone until members of the public are called on to speak. The meeting is being recorded. It's also being transcribed. Notice of this public hearing was duly served on the assessment record building owner and its counsel and was published in accordance with Section 202 of the Eminent Domain Procedure Law. In accordance with Section 203 of the Eminent Domain Procedure Law, a stenographic record will be made of this hearing. Written comments submitted will be included in the hearing record. This material will be available on the agency's website, www.acida.org, and as required by law. The agency has been accepting written comments and will continue to do so via email or regular mail through 5 p.m. on March 8th, directed to the agency's executive director, Craig Clark. Craig's email is clarkcr@ AllegheanyCO. That's AllegheanyCO.com. The purpose of this public hearing is to assist the IDA in determining whether or not to move forward with potential condemnation of property in support of an application for financial assistance submitted to the agency. The agency will consider, in determining whether or not to move forward with condemnation, the public use, benefit, or purpose to be served by the proposed public project, the approximate location for the proposed public project, and the reasons for selection of that location, the general effect of the proposed project on the environment and residents of the locality, and such other factors as it considers relevant. By way of introduction, this project is the latest in a long series of actions by Allegheny County and the IDA to address the long undeveloped, underutilized, and blighted area known generally as the Crossroads and the Hamlet of Belvedere. As one county historical webpage has noted, quote, there are no road signs leading to Belvedere, but not that many years ago, it was a thriving community at the crossroads of mass transportation and a candidate for the county seat. Now its vine-covered, rambling buildings are a shadow of yesteryear, close quote. Once an important crossroads of three railroads, thus the name, and roadways with a couple of hundred population, it featured its own train station, post office, three sawmills, a church, a hotel, a saw and stave mill, and yes, a cheese factory, many small stores and mechanic shops, and another factory that made, among other things, bowling pins. All along gone, but the blighted remains. There have been a number of redevelopment steps prior to this proposed action, including investment by the county in the construction of a water line to serve the Crossroads area, the acquisition of the abandoned and contaminated truck stop for redevelopment, pursuit of a landfill gas agreement utilizing the now closed landfill that dominates the district, and other efforts. The Allegheny County Comprehensive Plan identifies, quote, build out the Crossroads area that is planned for I-86, Route 19, and CR-20, close quote, as the number one immediate priority. The project at hand is the proposed construction of a new cheese manufacturing facility for Great Lakes Cheese. The proposed facility is a 480,000-square-foot manufacturing facility, 50,000-square-foot wastewater treatment plant, and supporting access roads and infrastructure. The company reviewed over 70 sites as possible locations for maintaining a facility in the region. The company and the IDA focused their efforts on sites within the town of Cuba. Unfortunately, no viable site emerged, including the company's own current holdings, for a number of reasons, including the specialized nature of the manufacturing facility, which dictates the size needed, including areas for future expansion. The company has submitted to the IDA an application for financial incentives, and the assistance requested includes the potential acquisition of all or part of three parcels of land in the town of Amity and Angelica. The three tax parcels to be acquired, which make up the subject property, are as follows. One, Old State Road, Town of Amity, tax map number 158-1-2-1. Two, Triana Road, that's T-R-I-A-N-N-A Road, Town of Amity, 158-1-31. And three, County Road 20, Town of Angelica, 145-1-5-1. Parcel 158-1-2.1. would be subdivided into the smaller parcel on the east side of County Route 20, part of the project, and the remainder of the parcel west of County Route 20, not part of any acquisition. Total land to be acquired is approximately 210 acres. The site is just south of the Belmont exit of I-86. A map of the subject property upon which the facility would be constructed is available on the agency's website at www.acida.org. You can access the map by clicking on Project, selecting the Great Lakes Cheese Project, and clicking, can everybody please mute their phone? Thank you. Selecting the Great Lakes Cheese Project and clicking on the document entitled Seeker Packet and Project Location Map. This map shows the adjacent properties as well, along with other information related to the project, proposed project. And as we continue to gather information, including the transcript today and the attachments, we will certainly be posting those as well. The new facility will contain the entire cheese manufacturing process. The main facility will include provision for receiving raw materials by truck, the manufacturing process, packaging, shipping, and distribution in office space in a single level 40-foot tall building, except for an approximately 130-foot tall multi-stage drying tower. Truck scales, guard shack, employee parking and access roads, a water tower and fire pump building, and stormwater containment basins. In addition to wastewater treatment plant, including a treatment building, tanks, and impoundments for manufacturing waste, a septic system will serve the plant's employees. The wastewater would be charged to the Genesee River. Construction would take place over multiple years, with the project breaking ground the third quarter of 2021, site and building construction from that time through third quarter 2023, equipment installation through to startup from second quarter 2022 through third quarter 2024, with packaging operations starting as early as Q3 of 2024, cheese manufacturing testing will start Q2 of 2024, and the plant should be fully operational by January 1 of 2025. The heart of the manufacturing facility is a turnkey equipment package, which effectively dictates the size and shape of the property in which the new facility can be located. As a result, the sites available in the region are almost all agricultural properties. The company examined, as I mentioned, over 70 sites, including conducting geotech and surveys on alternative sites. The project site is located at an elevation of approximately 134 feet above mean sea level along County Route 20, sloping to the northeast. Road drainage on County Route 20 flows north away from the site. The Genesee River and tributaries are present on the edge of the site. There are no established drainage ways on the site other than roadside stormwater ditches, nor any surface water features other than the Genesee River. Soils mapped by the USDA are primarily Allard, that's A-L-L-A-R-D, silt loam, gently sloping, 0-3%. These soils are moderately well-drained soils formed in glacial till with a hydraulic soil base B and classified as prime farmlands. The soils are not subject to flooding and have a depth of water table of greater than 80 inches. Topsoil is likely impacted by past farming activities. The site vegetation is active agricultural fields. There would be an irretrievable commitment of agricultural lands if this project goes forward. There are no curbs preventing access to the site. However, there is a small ditch and drop off to the west side of the site along County Route 20. There are no additional fences on the site. There's no public water service or sanitary sewer currently available to the site. A new substation will be built as part of the utility upgrade. There is no gas service to the site. There are trees mainly in the north, south, and east edges of the site adjacent to the Genesee River. Minimal disturbance of the treed areas is anticipated. The eastern portion is located in Zone A and B FEMA flood zones. Additionally, there may be a freshwater wetland located in the center of the site, and the Genesee River is a Class C stream. The site does not contain any state jurisdictional wetlands. Turning to the purposes, why the IDA is willing to consider this action. First, with economic development. The purpose of the acquisition would be to promote economic development consistency with the agency's statutory purpose. The Allegheny County IDA was created to promote the economic welfare and prosperity of county inhabitants and to actively promote, attract, encourage, and develop economically sound commerce and industry, including projects that retain and expand employment. This project presents a significant economic development opportunity and will serve an underutilized area. The IDA acknowledges that a private party will benefit should the combination go forward, and as part of its deliberations, the agency will consider whether or not the public purpose is dominant. There are significant economic benefits directly and indirectly from the project. According to the company, it currently employs 229 full-time equivalent jobs. Should this project not go forward, the company will leave the region as it is unable to stay in its current plans, and these jobs will be lost. The current payroll is approximately $12 million annually. The company states that it will ramp up production starting in January 2025 and that a ramp up will eventually produce 200 new jobs within several years, reaching an annual payroll additionally of approximately $9 million a year. The county and the region have recently lost significant numbers of manufacturing jobs, and the retention of existing jobs and availability of new manufacturing jobs presents a significant potential benefit. Pursuant to the IDA's labor policy, the company is committed to using local labor for construction and eventual hiring of new jobs to the extent possible. There has been no construction project of this scale in the county in recent memory. Further, most recent projects have been public projects such as the county courthouse and school upgrades. The project would mean a $30 million equity investment by the company in the county, with the remainder of the project financed. The project is expected to create an average of 240 new construction jobs over the duration of the project, peaking at around 480 mid-project. The total $505 million investment is a significant economic benefit that will be felt across the county. The agricultural industry in the county and the region will suffer significant long-term harm if the project does not go forward and the company leaves the state in 2025. The company currently purchases 2 million pounds of milk annually through dairy cooperatives. This is one of the largest food manufacturing operations supporting local farms in the region. The loss of this facility will have significant negative impacts on the agricultural industry and the ability of farms to maintain current levels of dairy herds and contribute to the tax base and workforce in the region. Cornell Cooperative informs us that the trend has been for a loss of dairy farms in the region. The inability to maintain this facility in the area may well accelerate that term. If the If the project goes forward, the company expects to purchase an additional 2 million pounds of milk annually from dairy farms. This is estimated to add 600 farm jobs. Job retention and job creation have multipliers, which represent the jobs that would be created by indirect spending of employees and the company if the project goes forward. According to the New York State Department of Labor, manufacturing has a multiplier of 3.04 jobs associated with each manufacturing job, and a construction has a multiplier of 2.2 jobs indirectly created by construction jobs. Thus, the retention of jobs and addition of jobs will have a significant public benefit. Next, blighted area. Part of the reason the IDA is considering this project is because the proposed location is in a blighted area. As noted, the IDA has previously purchased, using money borrowed from the county, an abandoned gas station, which was the site of petroleum spills and contained, among other contained abandoned structures, underground gas tanks, which were not being maintained. The census tract is dominated by the now-closed Allegheny County landfill. There are abandoned farm buildings directly north of the site. The small hamlet next to the site features an outflows restaurant, several abandoned homes. Just north of the highway, south of the IDA office, is a small repair shop which has used the area along the highway as a junkyard. There are numerous abandoned properties, including across the street from the new Quickleys on the southwest corner of State Route 19 and County Route 20. The census tract in which the target property is located is an impoverished area. Families with incomes below the poverty level represent 19.9% of this population, compared to 11.7% of the county. For the county, for families with related children of the householder under 18 years, 32.8% are below the poverty level, compared to 20.3% in the county. And for families with related children of the householder under 5 years only, a staggering 55.3% have incomes below the poverty level, compared to 18.2% for the county. This employment rate at the time this census information was provided was almost twice the county average of 8.5%, compared to 4.9% for the county. Both economic development goals and reduction of blight would be served by the improvements to the area necessary to serve this project, including the upgrade to utilities. The redevelopment of the Belvedere area becomes economically feasible with the number of new jobs associated with this project. Property values will be increased by the project. That is some of the information that we are considering. Obviously, the record is still open and no decisions of any kind have been made on the environmental review, on the financial incentives, or on the proposed acquisition. At this time, I want to open the hearing to the public for comments. And we will hear from the members of the public. As I mentioned, allow Mr. McNamara to go first. If you wish to speak, please unmute your line and ask to be recognized. This takes a cooperative effort, so let's all cooperate with each other to do that. Once you've been recognized to speak, please state your name, address, and affiliation, if any, for the record, prior to your remarks. Speakers may also provide written statements to the agency's executive director, Craig Clark, at clarkcr@alleghenyco.com by mail to the agency until 5 p.m. March 8th. The purpose of the public hearing is not to field questions, but to solicit public comments on the project. And with that, I'll start the public hearing by turning things over to Mr. McNamara, who if hopefully is still there.
I am. Thank you very much, Mr. Spitzer. My name is Mark McNamara. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Barclay Damon. We are counsel to Charlie Bears and Marsh Acres LLC. Mr. Bears is its managing member. Marsh Acres is the owner of the real property, which Mr. Spitzer just described, the three parcels with the SBL numbers, two of which are in the town of Amity and one of which is in Angelica. And going forward, I'll just refer to that collectively as the Marsh Acres property, the entire 320 acres. Some or all of which is at issue in this eminent domain procedure law public hearing. And I say some or all of which appears to be at issue because it is unclear, despite the statement of 210 acres, it's unclear from the project documents and the notice for this hearing as to how much of the Marsh Acres property the agency, the Allegheny County Industrial Development Agency, which I'll refer to as the agency, has targeted for acquisition. Again, Mr. Spitzer has described the nature of the Great Lakes Cheese Manufacturing Plant project, which I'll call the project throughout my remarks, so I won't repeat that. An industrial development agency's power to seize private real property over that owner's strenuous objection is as extraordinary as it is brutal. Accordingly, the law imposes a variety of very specific constitutional and statutory limitations and requirements on the exercise of that power. Marsh Acres LLC and Charlie Bears object to the proposed taking of its property by the agency as violating, and as detailed further below, the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments to the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 6 and 7 of the New York State Constitution, the eminent domain procedure law, the general municipal law, the state, it's a little early perhaps on the State Environmental Quality Review Act, but I want to reserve our objections there. And then each of the comprehensive plans for the towns of Amity and Angelica. The irony here is that in addition to being unsupported by law, the agency's proposed taking is at odds with its own mission statement goals, its decades-long policy of promoting agricultural development and agritourism, and each of the comprehensive plans, as I mentioned, of the towns of Amity and Angelica, while at the same time harming the town of Cuba. To state the obvious, while there are constitutional and statutory limitations on the agency's exercise of its powers, there is no practical nor legal limitation on Great Lakes Cheese simply negotiating and purchasing whatever property it concludes is best for the development of its facilities. According to Forbes magazine, as of November 2020, Great Lakes Cheese had annual revenues of $3.3 billion, over 3,000 employees, and is the 139th largest private company in the United States. Surely it can afford to negotiate with a private landowner to purchase the property it needs for a $500 million project without relying on a governmental agency to forcibly take that property. The agency stepping in to do so at the behest of Great Lakes Cheese is at odds with the notion of public purpose and let alone basic fairness. The background here with respect to the property is, again, it's identified as those three parcels that Mr. Spitzer went through, which total approximately 320 acres and are an integral part one of the largest dairy farm operations in New York State and the largest in this area. Marsh Acres LLC and Mallard's Dairy manage a herd of 3,000 cows, over 6,000 acres, produce 200,000 pounds of milk a day, and employ 40 people. A dairy farm operation of this size requires substantial land for agricultural production and recycling the nutrients produced by the Mallard's Dairy herd, and to satisfy the New York agricultural and markets regulatory and permitting requirements. Charlie Bears and his partner have farmed the Marsh Acres property for over 25 years, and the loss of this acreage by the agency taking it in Great Lakes Cheese will have a direct and substantial negative impact on Mallard's Dairy operations. As Dan Spitzer said in his opening, this is prime farmland, which is exactly how this property is being used now as an integral part of Mallard's Dairy operations. It is the exact opposite of being blighted. The agency's method of conducting this hearing because it violates EDPL 201. The EDPL is how I refer to the eminent domain procedure law. If 201 requires that prior to acquisition, the condemnor shall conduct a public hearing at a location reasonably proximate to the property which may be acquired for the project. According to its notice, the agency determined to hold this hearing by telephone conference call on the basis of the governor's executive orders 202-1, 202-10, and 202-15 banning large gatherings due to the pandemic. A telephone conference call for an unlimited number of people is in no way a substitute for the statutory requirement of a public hearing as provided by EDPL Article 2. This was made clear by the quality of and the complaints with respect to the agency's February 9, 2021 General Municipal Law Financial Assistance public hearing. The governor's issuance of these executive orders does not excuse the strict requirements of the EDPL. This is particularly so when other alternatives via video platforms were readily available, and the GMLE General Municipal Law 857 specifically requires, quote, the agency shall, to the extent practicable, stream all open meetings and public hearings on its website in real time and then post video recordings of all meetings and public hearings on its website. The agency failed to comply with GML 857 by not streaming the public hearing on February 9. In this era,
Mark, can you hold on 1 second? Mark, can people please show respect for Mark and mute their phones? Thank you. I'm sorry, Mark. Please continue.
Sure. In this era of Zoom, WebEx, and Microsoft Teams platforms, it is no defense to rely on the, quote, to the extent practicable excuse found in 857. Even if, for purposes of argument, the governor's suspension of an EDPL Article 2 public hearing is legally valid, the agency's reliance on the executive order of sites is unsupported because it's at best unclear whether by their own terms they've expired. In addition, the reliance on Executive Order 202-10 is misplaced since it does not even apply to statutorily required hearings. Rather, it states, quote, non-essential gatherings of individuals of any size for any reason, for example, parties, celebrations, or other social events, are canceled or postponed at this time, close quote. Clearly, this hearing does not qualify as a party, celebration, or social event of any type, so 202.10 is irrelevant. Finally, the agency has insisted on going forward with this, despite the public objections to the quality of the February 9, 2021 conference call, and those objections were made contemporaneously at the hearing and in writing afterwards. The agency's justification that, quote, the public hearing notice was already, meaning for this hearing, the February 22nd hearing, quote, that the public hearing notice was already published and therefore cannot be altered, as Dr. Clark stated in his February 17, 2021 letter response to Jenny Bellotta, is simply wrong. A public hearing notice can always be republished for a rescheduled date, particularly as explained below, when the agency's notice is already defective. The agency failed to comply with the EDPL Article 2 public hearing notice requirements for both the public and the property owner. EDPL 202 provides specific and stringent notice requirements, I think Dan mentioned those early in his presentation, to both the public at large and the owner of the property whose acquisition the condemnor is purportedly considering. In this case, the agency failed both substantively and procedurally with respect to the public and the property owner. EDPL 202, requires the condemnor to give notice to the public of the purpose, time, and location of the hearing, setting forth the proposed location and any alternative locations of the project at least 10, but no more than 30 days before the hearing. Such notice must be published in at least 5 successive issues of an official daily newspaper, if there is one, designated in the locality, and in at least 5 successive issues of a daily newspaper of general circulation available in the locality. If the only newspaper available is a weekly publication, then the notice must be published in that newspaper in at least 2 successive issues. The agency did neither. The only notice of today's public hearing was the single publication by the agency in the February 10-16, 2021 edition of the Cuba Patriot and Free Press, which is a weekly newspaper. Despite clear statutory requirements of EDPL 202, the agency failed to publish notice of this EDPL article public hearing in at least 2 successive issues of the weekly newspaper, let alone 5 successive issues of a newspaper of general circulation. Accordingly, the agency failed to meet the minimum statutory requirements set forth in EDPL 202, and the notice for this hearing is fatally deficient and effective. With respect to the property owner, EDPL 202C requires the condemnor provide notice of the purpose, time, date, and location of EDPL Article 2 public hearing to the record owner of the property, either by personal service or certified mail, return receipt requested. Again, the agency denied it.
Hi, it's the court reporter. I need everyone to mute besides the one person speaking.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. I didn't get much, so.
Would you all please mute your phones? I think so.
I'd be fine with anything.
Would you all please mute your phones?
You don't have to worry about this. I mean, I'm just glad that I met you.
Thank you. Mark, please continue.
Sure. The agency's notice letter was on the letterhead of its counsel, Hodson Russ. The letterheading indicated it was sent via certified mail return receipt requested to Marsh Acres LLC. It was not. Said the agency's February 8, 2021 notice letter was placed in the Marsh Acres LLC box mailbox at 7017 Fidelity Road in Ellicottville. Marsh Acres never signed for the letter as required with certified mail. While this is a technicality, and I recognize it's a technicality, the EDPL is all about precision and scrupulous compliance with the technical requirements of the law because of what is at stake. The government exercising its very serious power to seize the private property from this unwilling seller. The public hearing notice, the 202 public hearing notice, is substantively defective. The notice for the public hearing is fatally deficient in terms of the interest the agency is proposing to acquire and the purported public purpose for its acquisition. EDPL 202A provides the condemnor must give notice again of the purpose, time, et cetera, of the hearing, setting forth the proposed location of the public project, including any proposed alternative locations. Here, there's no indication at all of any proposed locations, despite a variety of them having been considered. The agency's notice of this hearing states it's considering the acquisition of an interest in certain parcels of property, which it then lists as the 3 parcels that Mr. Spitzer identified at the beginning of his remarks. A clear reading of the language is the agency's considering the acquisition of all 320 acres of the Marsh Acres property, not just the 210 acres, which are referenced in other places, and again, which Dan Spitzer mentioned. Project application at section Roman numeral 2B and its attached short form or short environmental assessment form as part one, identify, quote, all or some of the three tax map parcels as the project location. The full environmental assessment form submitted by the agency with its notice of intent to act as lead agency states the project will be located, quote, on a 100-acre parcel in the towns of Amity and Angelica. Contrary to the notice for today's hearing, the agency's February 9, 2021 public hearing states the project will include, quote, the acquisition of an interest in the portion of several parcels of land totaling 210 acres, again, which it identifies as the three parcels making up the Marsh Acres property. While EDPL 202 does not require the condemnor to provide every detail of its intended project, the property owner in particular and the public in general are legally entitled to some specificity as to the location and amount of the property the condemnor intends to acquire for the project. Fifth and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution provide that no person shall be deprived of their property without due process. Article 1, Section 6 of the New York Constitution provides the same. Due process in the context of an EDPL 203 public hearing fundamentally includes the notice of the nature of the taking. The contradictions between the agency's various official notices and project documents are such that its notice is substantively and fatally defective. There is no public use, benefit, or purpose for the proposed taking. The thrust of the agency's stated public purpose for this project is economic development and maintaining jobs with respect to the Allegheny County dairy industry. Arming the largest dairy producer in the area to affect that proposed public purpose is more than ironic. It defeats the agency's supported economic development public purpose for the project itself. Dairy and the agricultural operations of Mallard's Dairy, again, are spread over 6,000 acres. They manage 3,000 cows, employ 40 people, and produce over 200,000 pounds of milk per day. The Marsh Acres property targeted by the agency is by its nature and size critical to Mallard's Dairy's continued operations. Qualitatively, there is no better agricultural land in Allegheny County. The quality of its soil and its top-level topography make it ideal for growing crops and recycling the nutrients produced by the Mallard's Dairy herd and essential to its continued compliance with the New York Agricultural and Markets regulatory and permitting requirements for a dairy operation of this size. The agency's proposed acquisition of some or all of the property will harm my client's dairy business and, in turn, Allegheny County's dairy industry, which is the exact opposite of an economic development-based public use, benefit, or purpose. This reality is highlighted by the fact this project, as described later in my presentation, is at odds with each of the comprehensive plans developed and adopted by the towns of Amity and Angelica, where the proposed project is to be located. It's also at odds with the agency's own mission statement, whose stated goals are, quote, manage growth and development, conserve rural and scenic areas, and protect agricultural resources. The acquisition of prime and essential agricultural land from the largest dairy producer in the area does violence to those goals and undermines any claim of public purpose. As detailed in the February 9, 2021 letter to the agency from Jenny Bellotta, Great Lakes Cheese already owns substantial land in the town of Cuba, providing a variety of alternatives to develop a new facility. Dr. Clark's February 17, 2021 letter sets forth the agency's response to Ms. Bellotta, the public at large, and apparently my client, that the property owner, to, quote, please keep in mind only GLC, Great Lakes Cheese, makes the final determination of final site selection. Respectfully, the agency should keep in mind that only it can forcibly take property for the project, and the constitutional and statutory requirements behind the exercise of that power should make considerations of the existing acreage in Cuba and the impacts on that community relevant to its determination of public purpose. It is no answer to say the agency must follow the dictates of a private company in exercising its power of eminent domain, which is the case here. Again, as I said earlier, there's no practical nor legal limitation on Great Lakes Cheese as one of the largest companies, private companies in the country,
to negotiate and purchase whatever property it determines is best for the development of its existing or future facilities. With its resources, it can surely afford to negotiate an appropriate deal if it desperately, if this is absolutely the place it needs to be, then it should be able to negotiate with the property owner as two sophisticated entities to acquire that property. The agency stepping in to do so at the behest of Great Lakes Cheese, again, is at odds with the notion of public purpose and basic fairness. In its response to Ms. Bellotta's letter, the agency states the proposed pilot agreement will, quote, have no immediate impact on taxes or taxpayers because the agency is exempting a company from future taxes on a facility that has not yet been built. This statement that a pilot agreement on a $500 million project facility, which provides a $170 million real property tax abatement over a 20-year period, including a 100% abatement of property taxes for the first 15 years, is at least nonsensical, perhaps disingenuous, and in any event, wrong. The agency's position ignores both the impact of the dramatic drop in taxes resulting from the closing of the existing Great Lakes Cheese facility in Cuba and the future demands on municipal services and infrastructure supported by property taxes, or at least everybody else's property taxes, resulting from the proposed $500 million facility. Finally, while New York law recognizes the exercise of the power of eminent domain where there is an incidental private benefit to a company, so long as there is a dominant public use benefit or purpose, such is not the case here. Here it's reversed. The private benefit is dominant, and any public benefit, that is the private benefit to Great Lakes Cheese, is dominant, and any public benefit incidental. In short, the agency has failed to identify any public purpose to support the exercise of its power of eminent domain in acquiring the Marsh Acres property for the project, and such acquisition by eminent domain should not be allowed. The proposed project conflicts with the objectives and goals of each of the comprehensive plans of the towns of Amity and Angelica. The town of Amity's comprehensive plan was drafted with the intent of protecting agricultural property located throughout the town. As required by the New York State Farmland Protection Act, Allegheny County offers agricultural districts as an opt-in program to landowners. There are up to 87 parcels of these districts within the town's boundaries. This program offers protection to agricultural lands against unwanted development of farmland. Amity's comprehensive plan is based on the goal of keeping the agricultural lands in use while allowing for development in the area of the town near the intersection of New York State Route 19 and I-86. Specifically, the plan states at page 18, the area near the intersection of New York State Route 19 and I-86 is presently in agricultural use. Yet most people understand that this location is likely to be the next area of growth in the county. The remainder of the lands that border the Genesee River New York State Route 19 corridor should be carefully planned to allow a mixed use of mostly agriculture with a narrow corridor for development directly along New York State Route 19. No other large tract should be taken out of farm use for development. The Marsh Acres property the agency now seeks to acquire for industrial development, and the subject of this hearing, is mostly located between Old State Road, County Road 20, and the Genesee River, and exactly the area which the Amity Comprehensive Plan provides should continue to be mostly agricultural. It is an understatement to say that a 480,000 square foot manufacturing facility with a 50,000 square foot water treatment plant is inconsistent with the goals and specific provisions of the Amity Comprehensive Plan. The Marsh Acres property is located in the, quote, remainder of the lands that border the Genesee River, New York State Route 19, which should remain agricultural pursuant to that plan. In short, locating this project on the Marsh Acres property contradicts the town's goals and objectives and the specific provisions of its comprehensive plan. Similar to Amity, the town of Angelica's comprehensive plan is targeted at protecting and promoting agricultural lands. Specifically at page Roman numeral 4-4, the plan states that a key town goal is to promote agriculture as a desirable use of land and protect farmland by recognizing the unique role that agriculture can play in supporting economic prosperity and protecting and preserving Angelica's rural heritage. The strategies in support of this goal and its supporting objectives, as detailed in the Angelica Comprehensive Plan at page 4-4, are to consider land use regulations, quote, that protect and promote farming, research, close quote, research the feasibility of a conservation easement program to provide tax relief to large landowners and farms and support local farmers and encourage agritourism by establishing a farmer's market. There's no reference whatsoever to promoting or even considering large-scale industrial development as a goal or objective in the town of Angelica. To do so would be directly at odds with the rest of its comprehensive plan. The proposed project is directly in conflict with the goals contained in Angelica's comprehensive plan in that it would destroy farmland rather than protecting it and promoting agricultural land use. The agency's exercise of its power of eminent domain in furtherance of a project which violates the comprehensive plans of the two towns in which the project is proposed to be located is unlawful and, again, at odds with the notion of a public service, of a public purpose. Excess taking. It is a well-established principle that a condemnor has no right to condemn real property interests in excess of what is needed for the public purposes of its proposed project. The agency seeks to acquire substantially more property than what is needed for the project. As noted earlier, the notice of this EDPL 202 hearing states the agency is considering the acquisition of an interest in certain parcels of property, which it then lists as the Marsh Acres property. Again, the clear reading is it's the entire 320 acres. I won't repeat the contradictions that I went through with respect to the other parcels, including that it will be on a 100-acre parcel in the towns of Amity and Angelica. Despite the confusion as to what exactly is, how much acreage is intended to be acquired, no matter what it is too much. The project is described as, again, 480,000 square foot manufacturing plant and 50,000 square feet wastewater treatment plant. These building improvements cover approximately 12 acres. Even additional land necessary for an industrial operation and general utility of such a large facility, the confused area being targeted for acquisition is in excess of what is necessary to accomplish the purported public purposes claimed by the agency based on the size, scale, and needs of the project. And as such, the proposed acquisition would be an unconstitutional excess taking. And Dan, I assure you I am almost done here. Just compensation. Pursuant to the United States and New York Constitution and the EDPL, the agency is required to pay just compensation for any property interest it acquires with respect to the property and to the project. And in fact, in the February 9 hearing, there's a fair amount of discussion with respect to the agency's commitment to do exactly that. I think it's Mr. Spitzer who was saying it. The determination of just compensation is ultimately a judicial function, independent of what the condemnor's opinion as to the amount of damages caused by its taking. Most critically, just compensation has been interpreted by New York courts to mean sure and certain compensation. That is, a mechanism is in place to guarantee there is a source of funds from which to pay the ultimate judicially determined just compensation damages. Here, there is no such mechanism to guarantee payment of just compensation. There is no evidence the agency will be able to provide a sure and certain, quote-unquote, source of compensation, and in fact, the evidence is to the contrary. The agency, unlike a municipality or the state, has no power to tax. Its only revenue source is project fees, and there are a limited number of projects listed on its website. Its financial statements are identified on its website, but the links to the statements do not work. With respect to the project at issue here, Great Lakes Cheese is the project applicant, but there is no preferred, or at least no preferred developer agreement has been disclosed. And in any event, the property owner can legally look only to the agency for just compensation. In short, there's no evidence the agency has the financial resources to satisfy its obligation to pay just compensation for acquisition of a Marsh Acres property and the damages to the remainder, and no other mechanism is in place to guarantee payment. This, by definition, is not, quote, sure and certain, close quote, compensation. Accordingly, the proposed taking of the property for the project is in violation of the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments of the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 7 of the New York State Constitution, and EDPL Articles 1, 3, 4, and 5. The agency violated GML 859-A by failing to provide the required notice for its February 9, 2021 financial assistance public hearing. GML 859 requires the agency give at least 10 days published notice of any public hearing held pursuant to 859. The agency published its notice of the February 9, 2021 public hearing in the Cuba Patriot and Free Press in the February 3-9, 2021 edition of this weekly publication well short of the 10-day requirement. The IDA has thus failed in its minimum requirements of notice under GML 859-A3. Finally, the State Environmental Quality Review Act. Charlie Bears and Marsh Acres reserve their rights to challenge the agency's seeker review. To date, the agency has stated its environmental review of the project is ongoing and incomplete. The agency has classified the project as a Type 1 action and submitted a full environmental assessment form with its notice of intent to act as lead agency. According to the agency's environmental assessment form, the project includes a 50,000-square-foot wastewater treatment plant, the creation of stormwater and wastewater retention ponds holding 7.3 million gallons with a surface area of 2.5 acres, a disturbance of 80 acres of land along the Genesee River, disturbance of wetlands, the generation of 706,000 gallons of liquid waste per day, and 27,000 tons of methane per year, and result in a substantial increase of traffic with 200 semi-trailers and 15 delivery trucks per day. The project will clearly result in a number of significant adverse environmental impacts and require, we assume, the preparation of an environmental impact statement. Once the agency has completed its environmental review, Mr. Bears and Marsh Acres will comment and submit whatever input it has as appropriate. And with that, I thank you for your patience. I recognize that's a long presentation, but it is important. And, again, I appreciate your patience. Ms. Fitzer, I am through.
Thank you, Mr. McNamara.
I will submit a statement along with a variety of attachments to it to Dr. Clark and to be made part of the record. And I'll do that before whatever your deadline was, March 8th. I'll do it in the next couple of days.
Thank you, Mr. McNamara. For those of you who might have been wondering, one of the few provisions that Mr. McNamara didn't mention in the EPL is that if you, as a potential target of condemnation, have an objection, you need to state that objection at the public hearing. And if you don't, you potentially lose the right to bring it up in any later litigation if we're not able to do what, of course, what everybody wants to do, which is to not have condemnation. But therefore, it was important to give Mr. McNamara time to express any concerns he had, as well as preserve his rights towards anything that's not yet final, and we appreciate his doing so. What I'd like to do now is open the meeting up to others. We're not going to place a time limit on speakers yet. I don't think we have that many people today. No, it's not tonight yet. But I would ask that you avoid repeating comments that are previously made, that you identify yourself, state your name and your address so that the stenographer has it, and we'll do our best to get to everybody. Try to limit your comments to 3 minutes, but hopefully we'll get everybody in, and if we don't get everybody in, we'll try to come back at the end. And again, you have until March 8th to put anything in writing. As you've seen from Dr. Clark's responses, we pay very close attention to written comments, and we respond to all of them. So with that in mind, who would like to speak next?
Dan, it's Mike Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Just a question for Rich. Rich Ewell. Rich, if it's necessary for me to drop off, do you still have a quorum?
I do not think we do.
Are there any votes that require a quorum coming up?
Well, we should have a quorum of the board for the whole hearing for it to be a valid hearing, Mike.
Okay, fair enough. I'll stick it out. Thanks.
right. I appreciate
Thank
that. Next up, who would like to talk, if anyone?
This is Paula Van Dyke, and I would like to talk.
Okay, Paula, to state your name and address for the record, please. Thank you.
Paula Van Dyke. I live at 5874 County Road 20 West, Belmont. So I live in Belvedere. And I'm in a domain, and I'm sorry. I'm so damned emotional, I can't stand it. Eminent domain sucks. If there is a piece of property that someone feels is important enough to claim, they should be willing to pay for it. This is prime, and I understand prime. I have some prime land, and I have some not prime land. These people should not be made to give up what they own and the property that they need. One derelict building, which is an old barn, which I'm not sure why they haven't torn down. It's nothing but a collection place for derelict people, does not make it a derelict property. Our property is clean. This area is clean, aside from a very few spots. You're listing people who live in Belvedere next to the restaurant who definitely do not have money the way the rest of us do. It's not their fault. They've lived on a system that they expect the system is going to protect them the rest of their lives. We need to not let this happen. As a county, we need to not let property have someone say, oh, we're taking it. Certainly, if the people who want to put in great, I don't have a problem with the business much, except for the traffic and the upkeep and the water. And they don't have electric facilities when RG&E just did a new substation down there. We really need to think about this. But think about it the right way. Do it the right way. Don't claim eminent domain first and then go from there. And I guess I'm done.
Thank you. Who would like to speak next?
Dan, this is Lee James, Town of Cuba Supervisor, 86 West Main Street, Cuba, New York, 14727. My objection, again, is to the type of the hearing and how it was presented. I know you've asked several times for people to mute their phones and whatnot, but it really is not a good forum for this type of meeting with something that's so important. And with that, I'm done.
Who would like to speak next?
Dan, this is...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. This is Dave Crowley in Cuba, 44 South Street, Cuba, New York, Cuba Town Historian. I understand from your opening remarks that the... seeker process has started?
That's correct, David.
Okay. And who were notified? Where are those notices sent to for the inquiries, such as possible infringement upon archaeological sites, et cetera, as I mentioned in the previous hearing?
Well, this is not really a question and answer period, but because seeker is so important, with the chair's permission, I'll give an overview of where the seeker stands. The seeker notice of intent and who it was sent to is on the website, and SHPO is among the people who were contacted. So was the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. The SHPO review is looking at archaeological. And the SHPO, the seeker review is also looking at threatened and endangered species. The seeker review is looking obviously at traffic. And it's also looking at, as I mentioned in the prior comments, what would be an irretrievable and permanent commitment of farmlands to another purpose. So all of those items can be found under the seeker review. As we get items in, we'll be adding them to the website. No determination has been made as to the environmental impact. No determination has been made as to lead agency other than the classifications of it as a Type 1 project. It is ongoing. And if you have any other comments or other concerns, we have passed your concerns from the last hearing on to Clark Patterson Lee, which is leading the seeker review. But you can find all the information you requested on the website.
Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it.
Who would like to speak next?
Dan?
Yes.
This is Cindy Gawiski from Birdsville, New York. I'm also known as Cindy Ungerman from Cuba, New York, and Cuba Cheese has been in the town of Cuba forever. And I just find it interesting that 380 some odd acres of already owned property by GLC in Cuba. I can't imagine that even I realize that it's partially a big hill, but I can't imagine the cost of developing that land would be more than what it's going to take in legal fees for eminent domain and utility costs to get that plot of land in Belvedere serviced. We're talking, at last I knew, $30 to $40 million just for utility costs alone, and Lord knows what kind of legal fees for eminent domain and time frame. And I thought this project was supposed to be like the sooner the better in GLC's eyes, and this could be tied up for a year or two or more in court and a lot of legal expense. To me, I just can't fathom why they can't develop the already existing land.
Graduates are ready to hit the ground running. That's why our college has achieved a 98% or
better. Would everybody please mute their phones?
Education rate.
Although I suspect this is not accidental. Cindy, please go on.
I'm pretty much done. I don't know what that little thing happened. It wasn't on my end.
No, it wasn't. Thank you, Cindy. Anyone who would like to speak next? Would anyone like to speak next?
Alfred State is located in the quiet rural village of Alfred.
Good Lord.
Which lies in the scenic foothills of the Allegheny Mountains. Within a short drive of the college, you'll find attractions such as Niagara Falls, Letchworth State Park, and the beautiful Finger Lake.
Okay. Obviously, somebody has put their phone on hold in such a way as designed to disrupt the hearing, which I'm disappointed
to see.
We
know it's Craig Clark. We know that's Craig Clark. There's no other
option. I hope it's not.
Who else would be advertising Alfred State College right now, which is a great college, but why us? He doesn't want this at all to be important, and it is.
Well,
okay.
It's called very important, and I don't think, I don't think Dr. Clark would want it. Yeah, I don't think Dr. Clark would want
to
disrupt the
US
public hearing.
News and World Report's best colleges list.
No, I think he would.
No.
Northern regional colleges, Alfred State is
Does anybody else wish to speak?
Hi, yeah, it's the court report. Can I ask who the female is that was just speaking?
Oh, this is Paula Van Dyke.
Okay, thank you.
And I don't have a problem saying that.
This is Barb Slomack. I would like to make an objection.
Please go ahead, Barb.
Okay. Barb Slomack, 5557 Cemetery Hill Road, Belmont, New York, and I'm on the Town of Amity Planning Board. And my main objection is the taking of prime farmland, and especially by eminent domain. And my second objection is for the very generous pilot that is being offered to Great Lakes. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Who would like to speak next? Going once, going twice. At this time, I would ask a member of the board to make a motion to close the public hearing.
Yeah, this is Mike Johnson. I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Randy Shaler, second.
Okay. Mr. Yule, I didn't know whether you had still on or if you had dropped off, but
Would you take a roll call vote of the motion? Sure. Any discussion? Okay. I'll take a roll call. Mike Johnson?
Aye.
Randy Shaler?
Aye.
Judy Hopkins?
Aye.
And Doug Frank?
Aye.
Any other board members on this call? Okay, I vote yes. And so the meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. The transcript will be posted to the website. We look forward to any written comments.
Thank you.